humanitarian response to the Crislaw explosion, which claimed the lives of 10 people on October the 7th, 2022. Almost €2 million was raised to support those who were impacted by the tragedy, and an event last night saw the closure of the fund and the final allocations of that funding issued. Deirdre McGarvey, Irish Red Cross Secretary General, joins me in studio now. Good morning to you, Deirdre.
Good morning, Michaela.
So I suppose we'll go back to the start in terms of, you know, when the money was raised, what has been done up until this point?
Yes, and firstly, I think we must all remember, as I think we all do, and particularly those people here in the local community, that tragedy in October 2022, 10 lives were lost. Many, many lives were changed irreparably from that moment. Yeah. People injured, people lost their jobs, people lost their apartments, people lost their peace of mind, I guess. Yeah. So for those people who were directly affected and for the community who bore witness to that in various different ways, that is why we have been here in doing a lot of work around this fundraised money. And I think the second part of the story is the extraordinary outbreak of solidarity, compassion, care, and expressed through the, as so often is the way, through donations to charity. And it was on Post and Apple Green in the first instance who came together with the Irish Red Cross to launch that appeal. And it is very interesting. The money really all came in those first 6 months, but it did come in over the following 6 months. 1.9 million was raised, 6,191 donations, and the vast majority of them were small donations from individuals and small businesses, and indeed some very significant donations. So for us,
we always talk about that. Anything people can give, that small donation makes a huge difference.
It added up to an extraordinary amount of money, and it was very interesting. The Irish Red Cross has had branches in Donegal for many, many decades, and we will continue to have our branches and our volunteers in Donegal. And it is a facet of how local we are is that one of our members was very much involved from the get-go, you know, in that first half hour, in that first hour. And that came with the commitment of our volunteers here to be there for the families, be there for the bereaved, personal visits in the weeks immediate, the days and weeks immediately afterwards. And that swiftly followed on from, the fundraising from all over Ireland. It was extraordinary. We haven't seen anything in the Irish Red Cross for the domestic tragedy because, you know, thankfully, we don't have such awful tragedies of an acute loss of life nature in Ireland too often, thank God. So our role then in that fundraising appeal, because we are a humanitarian organisation, we were trusted to figure out what it is that we can best help with and what it is that other agencies, you know, were able to do. And everybody's needs are different. There is no one size fits all when you're dealing with that kind of a tragedy. So what we were able to do was channel the money in those first days and weeks directly to those who needed it, even for like my house. I've lost my accommodation, you know, how can I deal with this? So just the absolute immediate acute needs. And then in the run up to the funerals and the cost associated with that. Yeah. And every cost is different. Humanitarian requirements take different forms for different people, depending on where they are. And what we were able to do is, again, through the vast experience that the global network has, is to lean on that to understand how best and transparently and fairness to honour our principles and actually to meet the need and to meet the additional needs that were not being met elsewhere. So the immediate needs were met. And then over the course of 2023, a framework was devised, an oversight group with independent as well as local representation on it, and the board and the governance of the Irish Red Cross determined.
And that input from locals was obviously key because, you know, they're on the ground, they experienced what happened with the tragedy and to know exactly, like, you know, with the loss of the shop, they knew that there needed to be resources put in place there to cater for people locally.
Yeah. And I have to pay tribute to my colleagues and indeed to our volunteers. They have been on the ground since hour one. And one of my colleagues in the Dublin office, he dropped everything in his life and basically spent 5 months here, 3 days a week listening. And that was one of the things I really heard paid tribute to at the community event in Creaslaw last night, is the ability and the patience of the Red Cross to listen, to bear witness and to do more listening. And in that way, the framework that was devised within a few months was used in a transparent way, because as a charity, we have obligations to the public who donated, to the regulators and to the general Irish public who support all sorts of charities, not just the Irish Red Cross. So there was all of that, I'm going to call it the paperwork, the governance that you have to observe. And I think the public wants us to, and to do it promptly and fairly. So I'm very happy to say, as and we were on this radio station on several occasions reporting that, you know, quite quickly, 90% of those funds were distributed to the bereaved families, to those who were injured, to those who lost their jobs and those who lost their apartments, and the connected people. So the vast majority of those funds were expended, were spent within the first year.
Yeah.
As that should be, because humanitarian needs are first and predominantly acute in the moment. From the very beginning, we knew that we would hold back a certain small amount of funds, because we know from research internationally and with other traumatic events, the trauma has a long tail.
Yeah.
It has a long aftermath. And it is community organisations and groups that are the ones left picking up the fragments, I guess, of a broken
community. And I
suppose
it was all so new to them too.
Yeah.
They didn't know where to start as well. So having, you know, the likes of yourselves to liaise with, they knew what support they could provide them too.
Yeah. And really, you have to wait and see what the other agencies are doing, what the local authorities have been fantastic, you know, what the state agency have been doing. And trauma, as I said, takes many, many different forms. So very 8%, 9% of the funds, it turned out to be, after all the personal individual payments were made, it was 165,000, you know, out of the original 1.9 million. So we listened to ideas for, I guess, more medium and long term community benefit once the individual giving phase was over.
Yeah.
And the end of last year, you know, we determined that it was community groups that were the key to supporting in terms of long term community resilience and dealing with trauma. And I'm very happy to say that we launched a scheme with three themes emerging from our listing. Theme number one was youth development. There were so many young people killed and affected. And then there was the trauma, you know, trauma and recovery. And then there was a theme around commemoration and commemorative events, and to get that remembrance theme. So a total of 18 organisations applied. Two were completely ineligible because they were just from different parts of the country and are completely not connected. And of the 16 applications, they were actually made by 14 organisations. Two organisations had done, you know, two separate projects.
Right.
So we were very happy to be able to use the fund to fund all 14 organisations that had made a request. So that is something that we're particularly proud of. And also, the money didn't go to just groups that were operating in Creaslaw. The people who were affected by that tragedy, they have a very wide footprint here in Letterkenny, locally across the townland, but also in other parts of Ireland and indeed internationally. So it's communities that are focused on the Creaslaw tragedy and the resilience and those three themes afterwards. So we were very pleased. And the event last night, I mean, it's not a celebration. It is a marking. It is a milestone of the generosity of the public, of the listening that went on in those months, weeks and years. And it is the resilience of that community who were affected by that tragedy. And it is community organisations are the lifeblood. We all know this.
Yeah.
They're lifeblood of our villages and towns and townlands.
And I think because Donegal is such a rural county as well, you know, people in towns and villages depend so much on them organisations, and they are really the heart of the community.
Yeah. And it is wonderful as well, because the Irish Red Cross has developed an expertise in, I guess, dealing with trauma and helping people to work with people who are experiencing trauma. So one of, in one sense, it's unconnected with the expenditure of this fund, but really from other parts of our work. We will be coming here in next month to do a sort of a train the trainer, where we are giving between 6 and 8 people from the community, and again, of geographical community as well as a community of connectedness, so that they are professionally trained in dealing with a traumatized community in their work, whether they be, you know, facing the public in their different jobs and just being leaders within their own community. So we're very proud of that. We will be back in the coming months as well to, I guess, provide, I guess, resilience, mental health supports in the form of psychological first aid. And as I said, our branches are here. They were here before, during, and definitely will be here after. So in one sense, it's not the Red Cross, you know, pulling up our tents and moving out. It's very much the closing of this phase of the fundraising appeal, community fund expenditure. And it's been an extraordinary honour, privilege to have been given the opportunity, I think, by the Irish public and all those donors to engage in such a traumatic period of time for everybody, everybody. And it continues.
And in terms of those projects that now have received this, I suppose, last tranche of funding, there is two dedicated memorial projects being supported by the fund. We know that these were proposed maybe around this time last year following a meeting. So do you know any at what stage they're at the moment?
Well, those... there was 400 of the 16 applications to, again, were from 14 organisations. They totaled to €460,000.
Yes.
And we had €165,000. So obviously we were not able to give everybody the funding that they asked for. And every single project was also seeking funding from other sources.
Right, okay.
So what we have said, some of those projects, the Memorial Garden, they are places of rest. They are places of remembrance. There are also youth development, helping young people deal with trauma. There's a range of different projects at different timelines. And what we have asked every organisation to do is to send us a report upon the completion of their project. Some of the reports we do expect, you know, within 6 months.
Yeah.
Some we don't expect, you know, for 12 months, if not 14 months. But we will be staying in touch with these projects and receiving those reports. And again, putting this information available where the funding, where part of the funding, all of these projects are a work in progress, and they are a work of, I guess, to symbolise everything that has happened here, is that they're a work of many parts, you know, many supporters, many donors, many volunteers.
Yeah. And I think it's so important that ongoing support. I suppose even myself, I would think the culmination now of this fund, that is it for the Red Cross. Mm. But that ongoing support, the trauma support that you talked about, is so important. So people know now moving forward, they're not on their own. And, you know, you talked about that there's going to be extra training given now, that those people will remain in the community, because there's no end to, when we spoke about it earlier, this grief for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, those people listening, myself, yourself, everybody. But, you know, grief takes so many different forms. And this is one of those things that changes your life forever. And what we can do, and what the existing community organisations in the fabric of the community, as is the Red Cross in the fabric of the community in Donegal, what we can collectively do is to be there for people, to hold them, to signpost where necessary to some professional supports. But to hold people where they are, and to help people continue to find a purpose in life. And and that is what community groups do. That is what the Irish Red Cross does in Ireland and internationally. And it is It's an extraordinary privilege to be part of this movement.
Yeah. And last night as well, at the event, there were a number of people that were recognised for their work in the aftermath of the tragedy as well. And I know Father John Joe Duffy is one of those. And I think at the time of the explosion, you know, everybody looked towards him, even us in the media. He was that voice for the people that were impacted. So it's great to see these people now recognised for their work as well.
Yeah, we were, it's very hard to single people out. Yeah. We just, simple certificates of appreciation from the Irish Red Cross. That's what it was. That's what it took the form of. And we were very, very pleased. So Father John Joe was not just a source of leadership and inspiration, you know, for people here locally and for you, but also for us and for our team up there. And he spontaneously stood up and said a few words at the end of appreciation, which was very kind and generous of him. But as with every time I've heard him speak, both in the media and in person, you know, his humility and generosity of spirit, and I guess his simple leadership from behind, so to speak, speaks volumes. And there are so many people who have done so much in that sort of quiet, humble way. And yeah,
absolutely.
We were very happy to just say our small thanks, and to acknowledge that everybody clubbed together in the aftermath, and still does. And I know there are big plans in terms of development for the community of Chrysler and indeed beyond, that will help the townland. And it is good to see. This is good to see, but it's still hard. You can feel it when you go, and but you can also feel the green shoots. Life, you know, continues for those for whom, you know, who are there still.
Yeah, that's it. And I suppose when we have conversations like this, we do always remember those that lost their life and their families and anybody who has been affected by this trauma. But Deirdre Garvey, Irish Red Cross Secretary General, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.